I want you to think about your team. I want you to think about them outside of the job, outside of Zoom calls. Think about what they could be going through in their personal lives. Think about the person that is sitting on the couch on a random Wednesday night, working late because they didn't have enough time in the day, saying to you, hey, I need to take a mental health day. You know, think about that person, what they could be going through in their lives, and how your need for processes and efficiency is really impacting them. And you owe it to your team as a leader to be the change in the organization that they need.
Welcome to Authentic Energy, a podcast dedicated to getting to the bottom of what it means to be your true, authentic self at work. I am your host, Wendy Brand. Let's take this learning journey together as I meet with guests weekly. Whether you are a leader or individual contributor, a teacher or a nurse, we'll share conversations and stories that highlight meaningful connections, self-awareness, a sense of belonging, and all the components necessary to create a workplace where you can show up in your authentic energy. Welcome back. I'm Wendy Brand, your host and creator of the Authentic Energy Podcast. I recently created a framework that I have been using to partner with clients to improve their culture. It's called Thrive Culture, and Thrive is an acronym for the elements that I believe are core components to create an environment where your employees can thrive. My guest this week surprised me when I heard him on another podcast speaking directly to the letter H of Thrive, which is helpful processes and tools, and his mission aligns so closely with mine. My guest this week is Marquis Murray. Marquis is a business process consultant on a mission to eliminate team burnout and to empower teams so they can focus on the work without the issue of not knowing where or how the work is happening. With over 15 years of experience, Marquis has gained extensive expertise in improving processes and driving revenue growth. He successfully scaled and sold his previous consulting company to a competitor within 2 years after launching. He's now the CEO and founder of his next venture, Surface, and that's C-I-R-F-A-C-E. In addition to helping clients optimize their processes and technology, Marquis is also an accomplished speaker and host of a popular podcast, In Systems We Trust. He also speaks at in-person conferences, virtual webinars, and his own YouTube channel where he shares process improvement methodologies and how to get the most out of software applications. When he's not working, Marquis enjoys reading, photography, kayaking, playing bass, and spending time with his family and dog Taco. I'm excited for you to hear how Marquis is helping eliminate workplace burnout by enabling teams to optimize the way they work. Enjoy. Marquis, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome, Wendy. I'm happy to be here. Happy to chat. So thanks for having me on.
Yes. Well, tell our listeners a little bit about you and what you do for a living.
Sure. Yeah. I run a consultancy called Surface. And so we're a systems improvement consultancy. We work with businesses to help them optimize how they work, improve their efficiency within their teams. We do software training, help them document their processes, and ultimately just work better. And really our mission at Surface is to eliminate workplace burnout by enabling teams to optimize how they work. And so we really focus on the core problems that are causing people to become burnt out, and we solve for those in any of our engagements. And so that's a lot of the work that I do. I talk about it on YouTube. I'm often sharing about those types of things and producing videos around how to optimize work. We use a tool called Asana to do that primarily. And so a lot of the work we do is around that, but we are mostly software agnostic. But if it has to do with process and there's a way to improve it, I'm there.
Awesome. There's so much synergy here. Along this journey, what I've discovered is really that there is the individual's role in protecting, you know, setting boundaries and protecting themselves so that they don't burn out in the workplace. Because as we know, it can be because you love your job so much that you're throwing everything into it, or it can be a toxic environment and you just hate it, but you've got to go every day because you need that paycheck. So there's an individual side and then there's an organization side. And so I love talking about how do we help organizations really create an environment where their employees can thrive and not burn out. And some of that is the leadership's responsibility in setting that tone and that culture. But I love what you're introducing, which is really the operations side of it, the tools. Do we have the tools that we need to be successful, the processes to enable us? And it sounds like that's kind of where your mission is.
That's exactly it. Yeah. And I love this topic so much because there's absolutely the operational side of it where we have to have the standards around how we all work. So that can be documenting our standard operating procedures, putting them in a place that's accessible to the team and letting them know that, you know, if you need to understand something or if there's knowledge you're requiring, you go there first and then you ask somebody else. There are the workflows that we go through every single day, the ways in which we do things and who's involved in that workflow or that process. What tools do we use to execute that process? What are the layers of approvals that are required throughout that process? Are there internal or external stakeholders involved? And so many teams don't have those things defined or standardized, and everyone's kind of doing it their own way. And that causes duplication in work, causes confusion within teams, it causes deadlines to be missed. And all of these things really just add up to, you know, the thing that we're all dreading and all approaching, quite frankly, burnout.
I'd like to hear a little bit about your story.
Sure.
So did you experience burnout?
I did, yes. I left my corporate job 7 years ago. I was freelancing at the time as a digital marketing specialist. And so I was working my job during the day. And in the evenings on the weekends, I was moonlighting as a digital marketing strategist. And I left the job because we had two kids on the way. We have twin boys. And so I made the decision. It was family first. I needed to be home. So we had to figure out some alternatives there. And one thing led to another. I got connected with an agency. I did that for a little bit as a digital marketing manager and then decided I want my freedom back, right? Like I want to be at home. I want to do things on my terms. And I started my own marketing agency. And so it was through the acquisition of clients and growing my team that I really discovered my passion for systems and the need to have order inside of businesses. And then we fast forward now to 2020, and everyone's got a 2020 story. Mine was that marketing was no longer something that our clients were interested in pursuing. Mm. And so I had to pivot really quickly. And so I pivoted into an operations consultancy called Ditto, which thankfully was acquired last year. And so I'm in a new stretch, exploring some other options right now. But my story with burnout was that Ditto came at the right time because a lot of teams were displaced for the first time, didn't understand or know how to work remotely, didn't have access to a lot of the things that they would have in office. And so they were trying to collaborate and work with each other across various time zones and locations and trying to keep these businesses and organizations together. So we were helping them to standardize how they work, set up tools like Slack and Zoom for the first time, set up tools like Asana and HubSpot so that they can manage all their work and some of their processes. And we were moving really quickly. I was experiencing growth and it was exciting. And my team was growing really, really fast, but I wasn't doing it in a smart way. And I was of the mindset that even though I was documenting my processes, even though we had roles and responsibilities, I was still of the mindset of the freelancer where I could do it better, I could do it faster. And rather than taking the time to explain it or delegate it to someone else, I still felt like I needed to do certain things. And so I was taking on more. I was, you know, jumping into Slack channels and answering questions and saying, oh, I'll do that because I'll do it faster. And the tasks that were on my list were being pushed to the bottom, but I was taking on everyone else's responsibility as well. And in my role, I was also involved in sales. I do a lot of videos on YouTube. So I'm also recording YouTube videos. I have my own podcast. I'm also doing that. And then I'm also a father and a husband and all those other things that come with just ownership. And so it led to a lot of late nights because there wasn't enough time in the day anymore. I had created this problem for myself where I thought it was more efficient just to do it and get it done and say yes. And most importantly, like where I was coming from was that I was being the best, you know, CEO I could be by helping my team and being there for them. So I would never ask them to take on more. I would never ask them to stay up late or come in early, right? I would just do all those things because that's my responsibility. I took on all of those potential challenges and risks as the business owner. And so one thing led to another. Late nights, like I said, early mornings, and I wasn't sleeping. And this is when I found out just how bad my anxiety was. And I started seeing a therapist for it. And we realized that all of these issues were all just piling up. And I remember there was one night, and I remember this because I took a picture that night. It was one night where, for the umpteenth time, it was probably 3:30 in the morning, bloodshot eyes, just, you know, didn't even know what was going on. You know, sometimes I think back to those situations and I can't remember certain things because I was just on fumes. And I remember I took a picture of myself. It was a selfie. And I took a picture because I vowed to myself at that point that I would never let this happen again. And sometimes I look at that picture now, I'm just so sad when I look at that person, because that person was a shell of a human being. That person was closed off to his wife, was not the best father he could be, was not making himself available for his team, was not taking care of himself physically. I stopped exercising for probably a couple years, and that had its negative impacts on my life. I wasn't, you know, prioritizing mental health and all the other things that I knew were important for me. And so the hardest thing about burnout is that you know, like, when it's happening, it's just hard to pull yourself out of it because you can't see any alternatives. And for me, I close off to the outside world. I stopped caring about things.
Thank you so much for sharing that.
Yeah, it's really the fuel behind our mission to eliminate team and workplace burnout. When we started thinking about this and where the new direction we're going to go, we're thinking about the people in the seats, the knowledge workers, individual contributors that are the ones responsible for moving a lot of the pieces in organizations. And then there are the leaders that are overseeing them that need visibility on status and need reports and need to know what's going on. But if there are any business leaders, you know, listening to this podcast right now, I want you to think about your team. I want you to think about them outside of the job, outside of Zoom calls. Think about what they could be going through in their personal lives. Think about the person that is sitting on the couch on a random Wednesday night, working late because they didn't have enough time in the day. Think about the person that is, you know, spending their time going to conferences or taking courses or saying to you, hey, I need to take a mental health day. You know, think about that person, what they could be going through in their lives and how your need for processes and efficiency is really impacting them. Because at the end of the day, they are the ones that are going to make the difference. And if they're constantly giving you that feedback and you're seeing signs of burnout, maybe in your one-on-ones, something has come up, I need you to listen to those people because they are the reason why you are ultimately going to hit your goals and why you're going to be successful. And you owe it to yourself as a leader and you owe it to your team as a leader to be the change in the organization that they need. You need to document, you need to improve your systems because it's impacting the people in the seats. And it's not getting better, and it won't get better until you make the change. So,
amen.
There it is.
I know that you're on the other side of it now. And so before we hear more about that, I'm curious because the people that I've had conversations with about burnout and my own experience, where I feel like I've kind of narrowed it down is that when we experience burnout, it's because we're not aligned with our values. We're doing something that where there's friction with our values. And so I'm curious if you believe that's true, and if there are values that you've identified or that you could think, oh, sure, that makes sense. I wasn't in alignment with this. Mm-hmm. Is there anything you could point to in your own journey? Yeah.
There are four core values that I live my life by. And for a long time, I thought they were the company's core values. They're actually mine. Mm-hmm. The first one is freedom without hindrance. The second was order to a code and a protocol. And then there is meaningful work and helping others, right? So I believed that, you know, I was doing meaningful work. I was helping people, you know, operate better in their businesses. I believed that, you know, I was creating order through the work that I was doing. I believed that I was creating a sense of freedom for my customers, but I wasn't doing any of those things for myself. Mm. Right? We often hear about the cobbler's kids not, you know, having shoes. And it's not that we didn't have the systems. We had them. We prioritized proper systems. We prioritized standard operating procedures. Everyone was on board with that. It's just that I wasn't prioritizing the usage of all of those things. I wasn't prioritizing the ability to delegate and resource my team. And I wasn't creating order in my life through saying yes to everything, right? I hadn't created boundaries. My calendar was wide open for anyone and everyone. And I would say yes a lot, right? And so it was the taking on constantly of all these things that I was fighting against. And absolutely, I wasn't living my own core values, which is why I found myself in that place.
It seems so simple once you realize, you know, yeah, where the gap was. I think I was just, you know, I was asleep for like a decade where I just forgot about my own values. You know, I just had kind of put them off on a shelf because I was chasing the title and the money, which there's nothing wrong with the title and the money, but that's where I was putting my value. And so when I kind of stepped back after I burned out, I stepped back and reassessed. But thank you for sharing that. And so I can imagine now that you have created an environment for yourself and your team where you're at least trying to live, you're aware of the core values and trying to live to them. So what does that look like now for you today?
Right now, like I can say that when it comes to the how I spend my time, what's asked of me, where I'm to focus, I know that if it's not aligned with my family's vision, my company's vision, or it's not going to better me as a human being, the answer is no. Right. So like, it's been that simple just to know, like, okay, I know what I'm here on this earth to do. I know what my purpose is. I know what brings me joy and brings me life. And that's where I'm going to focus my time and energy. Don't get me wrong. The days are still busy. This is hour four of, you know, back-to-back meetings. And I've still got a couple left for the day. That happens, but I create space by bookending my week, right? Where my Monday morning until like the afternoon, I might take one or two calls on that day so I can think, so I can have some space. On Fridays is my creative days where I can be creative and make videos, or I can be creative and go have a nice breakfast somewhere by myself and just think, right? So I've created space like that where I have those things to at least look forward to in my week. And then I don't work late at night anymore. There was a time where like that was the norm. I'd put my kids to bed with my wife and I'd kiss her and I'd say, see you in the morning. And it was just normal, right? And it had its challenges, of course. And so being able to say, you know what, there is work to do, but the work can get done tomorrow. And everyone just has to be okay with that. And it was actually my therapist that told me this. I had this issue with getting back to people right away. You send an email, I'm going to get back to you right away. Or, you know, I told you I'd get something back to you, I'm going to get it back as quickly as I possibly could. And I said to my therapist one day, I said, well, like, if I don't get back to them quickly, then they're going to be upset. They're going to wonder what's going on. And she said, who told you that? You're absolutely right. You know, like I'm putting these self-imposed, like restrictions and strict guidelines around how I, in my position as the owner of my business, the creator of this, you know, I'm putting these restrictions on myself and making it more difficult. And so I've learned and come to understand that it's never as urgent as I think it is. Right. And anyone who's waiting on an email from me is also waiting on several other emails, and they're most likely, you know, dreading sending emails to someone else. And so I've just given myself more grace there as well. Exercising, it's a non-negotiable. Every morning I'm up at 5 o'clock. I'm in the gym. I get my hour to myself and I come home and then I get my family ready for the day and then we're off. I need that time, because if I don't get it, it's just one day, one meeting away from, you know, getting back on the track towards what the other side of it looks like. And so it's things like that that I've definitely put in my life that I know that if I don't adhere to them anymore, that it's just a matter of time before I go back. And that's a scary part too. It's like we can all, you know, go back to where we were, and just being mindful that consistency and making these promises to yourself are the most important thing.
I love that. Talk a little bit about where our conversation started with the processes and systems in an organization. I've worked in both types of organizations where it's been process heavy and almost to a detriment. Like there was no creativity allowed because it was like, follow this. And I worked in an early tech company that was growing very quickly, and we couldn't move fast enough. We didn't have time to document processes, right? So I've been on both sides.
We hear the time thing all the time. It's like, oh, I'm moving so quickly. I don't have the time to document this. I don't have the time. Simply doing the thing while you have Loom.com running, right? And just talking out loud as you're doing the thing you do every single day, that's documenting the process. So if you are putting together a proposal or a report and you need to pull numbers, right? You are using your machine most likely, and you go on and you put on Loom.com, and as you're doing the thing you do every single day, you record it. And then that's the first step. So with our customers, we don't accept the excuse of not having time anymore, because we all have the time. We do it every single day. So I'd say if you've been struggling with where to find time, don't think about it as something you need to clear your calendar for, right? You don't need to be away. You don't need to stop work, because things are not going to stop. To my earlier point, we also have to, be accountable to our main roles. And so within that, we just need to be able to make sure we're prioritizing the documentation. And by using tools, another one is Tango, right? Tango makes it really simple. As you click and talk, it records your screen. It pulls up the screenshots automatically. And when you're done the process, it gives you a PDF and a live link you can share with someone to show them how to do it. And so that's what I would say. It's like, just take 2 seconds, pick the tool that's right for you, start documenting and getting used to that. And then the next time someone asks you how to do something, you do it for them. You do it on screen, and then you say, here's the video. That creates a culture where now people are thinking, oh, I can just do that. Or that was so easy. It was so nice seeing that on video, right? And so it creates a culture where everyone now feels like, I can do that. It's achievable. And we're not having to stop everything in order to document how we work. So, and there will come a point where either if it's your team, that's going to take this and champion it, or you're bringing in some outside help, right, to organize all that information and create a system where you're able to update that information.
Great. What a great example. And I'll put links to those in the show notes so the listeners can access them. Okay. So one way to protect your employees and allow them to see the value is to have the proper processes, the roles and responsibilities clearly defined. It alleviates conflict between colleagues and allows for more collaboration. It's just, it really is a helpful piece of the puzzle.
Absolutely.
Marquis, this has been a wonderful conversation. I could talk to you forever. Thank you so much for taking the time. I really appreciate it.
It was great being here, Wendy. Thank you for allowing me to talk about this on your platform. Much appreciated.
Okay, here are my takeaways. Number one, learn how to say no. If it doesn't have a positive impact on your vision, you can say no. Number two, create boundaries for yourself, even as a leader or business owner. Know when to delegate or even allow things to be done the next day. Number three, values matter. Do things that are in alignment with your core values. Number four, standards around how you work can improve your culture. Number five, Loom.com and Tango.com are two tools you can use to document your processes as you do the work. Number six, leaders, please look for the signs and listen to employees that may be burning out. You can be the change that impacts their health. What a great conversation. I hope you enjoyed Marquis' story as much as I did. There are so many stories about burnout, people that are on the verge, people that are overcoming burnout,
And my mission here is really to help individuals prevent burnout by sharing these stories. Hopefully you will hear things that help you. If you know someone that needs to hear this episode or any of the other episodes, please share with a friend. Please go on and leave a review. Thank you so much for listening.